Mark chapter 11. Would anybody have any idea just what we might be talking about tonight? Mark chapter. Actually, hold your finger there. Let's go to 3 John first. We're going to get to it. There you go. See, boy, I tell you, you're quick, aren't you? 3 John comes after 2 John. Comes right before Jude. The book of 3 John, chapter 1. And verse 2. It says this, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now, we've talked about this before. There's prosperity in a lot of different levels. There's prosperity of the spirit. And the first thing that needs to happen there is for a person to be born again. Amen. Amen. Then you begin the trek. You begin that path of spiritual prosperity. Then there's prosperity in the soul or in the mind. Now, you realize, this might be a side trail, but you realize that your mind and your brain are not the same thing. Your mind and your spirit are closely connected. Matter of fact, the Bible will prove that when you're no longer in this body, you will still remember things. You'll know who you are. You'll know who your relatives are. You'll still have a memory of the things that you learned here. And so don't let anybody ever say that because maybe you might have a brain issue that you can't learn with your mind. Now, the brain is what the mind uses when you're in your body. Your mind works through the brain so that you can operate with this body. But when you don't have this body, you'll still have your mind. We are a spirit being, and we're just in this earth suit. Amen? We're just in an earth suit. This body is the only thing that's keeping us on earth. So you might want to take care of it. But now, if you're saved, you know, I hear all the time, sometimes we even slip up and say it here, you know, we talk about birthdays and say one more birthday. Well, we're getting older, you know. Well, it's better than the alternative. Well, think about that. Now, if you're not saved, yeah, it's better than the alternative. And if you're not saved, you know, I saw somebody the other day. They were just living it up. I mean, you know, you go to Tahlequah, it's just party city. I'm telling you, with that college there, there's a lot of college kids that work in the Lowe's store. And so it's just party time in the break room, you know, party city. And so I was asking somebody in the break room, I said, you know Jesus? And they said, no. I said, well, I just saw that you were partying, you know, talking about partying, having a good time. You probably better party it up just as good as you can and just live as wild as you can, because this is it. It doesn't get any better than this. This is it. Boy, if you're not saved, you better ham it up now, because this is it. When this is over, it's over. But now, if you knew Jesus, this is just the beginning. We're practicing for partying here, but you haven't seen anything yet. He got real curious about all that. Yeah, so we're going to talk again. All right, well, that was just a little side trail. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Prosperity. Prosperity. We're talking about prosperity in the spirit, prosperity in the soul, mind, will, you know, emotions are all tied together there. And prosperity. Now, when you say, you can say all of that in church. You can talk about prosperity of the spirit. You can talk about prosperity of the mind, your soul, you know, praying the Ephesians prayers, you know, that we'd have wisdom and understanding and we'd prosper in our knowledge of the Word of God, prosperity. But now you start to talk about prosperity in the physical, in the natural. And boy, I'm telling you what, now there's a whole lot of religious spirits that'll come up on that one. Oh, now, what do you want to be so prosperous for? I'd like to know those people that say that, just what they would say walking up to the New Jerusalem. Wow, you got a whole gate made of a pearl? Well, is that necessary? We don't need all that. Is that really necessary? I mean, look at this, streets paved with gold. I mean, I know you have a lot of gold, but now is that necessary? I mean, my goodness, isn't that a little excess? See? But now if you take the Bible and just read it for what it is, get off the religious glasses, you know, and just read it for what it is, God loves prosperity. God is a prosperous God. You remember in Genesis, one of the first things he did with Adam and Eve is he told them where the gold and the diamonds, and then he said, that's good. He told us to prosper. Some of the thinking in prosperity is that there's just only so much on the earth, just only so much to go around, and if somebody else gets really prosperous, then there's not enough for me. That's not true. That's not true. It's been calculated. All of the value of the earth, the oil, the gold, the diamonds, just the natural gases, the everything that there is here on the earth. Now see, those are natural things that I'm telling you about here. Now, they put a value on that, and the value was the number 33 with 33 zeros behind it. And they said at the time, this was right around 2000, they said at the time that if every single person on the face of the earth were to divide up that number, that everybody on the face of the earth would be billionaires. That's not counting now the internet, which has a whole lot of value. You imagine the value that goes on. Some of the companies that are sold on the internet for billions of dollars, and you ask yourself, where is that company? It's out there somewhere. You know, well, yeah, it's sitting on somebody's computer. But you see, value and worth and prosperity is all relative. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. And so God likes prosperity. Now, you thought I was heading toward faith, didn't you? Well, I am. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to get to 11 eventually. But let's go to Mark chapter 10. We're going to make our way there. I'm trying to get there. Mark chapter 10. You remember the story of the rich young ruler? Now, taking a look at that in Mark chapter 10, I think I'm going to pick it up. Where am I going to pick it up? I'm going to pick it up at verse 23. Now, if you think about this, if you have a timeline here, Jesus spoke this about 2 days before he was telling the disciples about speaking to the mountain. And so this is, you think about that, you think about Jesus speaking to the fig tree, and then Jesus having captivated the disciples with that whole issue and then being able to explain to them what they could do And just 2 days before that, he had run across this issue. All right? Verse 23, "And Jesus, looking round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" See there? You're not supposed to be rich, right? My goodness, how hardly, how hard would it be for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? Sell all you have, give it to the church. See, that's what everybody thinks. Give it to the church, be poor. No. Well, because it's not true. Be poor and humble, and God will love you for it. And then take a verse like this, pull it out of context. Well, how hardly shall they have, you know, riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. Now think about that. Jesus said how hard it would be for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples go, what? What do you... If they were poor, they would have gone, yeah. That wasn't the response that they got. Disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches, the love of money, to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? Well, my goodness, if you got a lot of money and you like money, what are you telling us, Jesus? There's no way we can get in? What's the deal? They were astonished. 27, Jesus looking upon them saith, With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Well, now that's pretty wild. In this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions. And see, now there's that persecutions. Boy, you start to get rich. I'm telling you what, probably more than anything else, the church world's going to come after you. What do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? Well, I think I'm going to try to help fund the gospel. That's what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to get rich, so that I can be a blessing. How many things have we given away this year? Oh my goodness. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You remember? Boy, I thought I was stretching it there. Right in front of everybody saying, we're gonna believe God for beds. Anybody need a king size? Anybody need a queen size bed? We're going to believe God for beds. Anybody need a bed? We're going to provide beds. Anybody need a bed? Anybody? Anybody? We're going to believe God for beds. I got to tell you, I got down from the platform that morning and I thought to myself, oh my Lord, what have I done? But you know, it wasn't now faith and patience, right? And it was but maybe a month or two. Maybe more than that. I don't remember. I had a fellow call me up that I had met several years ago. You know, you might say just out of the blue. Called me up. He said, Paul, hey, I was just wondering if you needed any beds. You know, you might say, well, where in the world did that come from? Well, it came from God. God works with people. You've got to be patient, be willing to, you know, take your time. And so sure enough, we had all the beds we needed. We had king-size beds. We had full-size beds. And it wasn't but just really a couple of weeks ago or maybe a couple of months ago, we got rid of the last one. We had plenty of beds. God's a faithful God. He's faithful to His Word. Now, we're going to talk about that tonight, how to receive. We're going to get there. But I want you to know that God is not against prosperity. Amen? There's just scripture after scripture after scripture. If you take off those glasses, that God likes prosperity. You know, He likes nice things. He likes nice things. People that followed Him all the way through the Bible from beginning to end became wealthy. Abraham, Solomon, Moses, just on and on and on. You just follow those people. That Joseph, follow those people that you know, you go on and on and on with names, became wealthy. Well, how did they use their wealth? To fund the kingdom of God. Amen? So that more people might hear the gospel and understand that Jesus is Lord. Amen? People in the Old Testament, they understood the Jesus to come. Now, here in the New Testament, we speak of the Jesus that has been here and is going to come again. Amen? Same one. Same Jesus. Now, let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11. And verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God, or it could be said, have the God kind of faith. Now, I just looked that up again tonight in several different concordances, several different translations. It can be rendered, have the faith of God. Well, the Bible says that we were made in the image of God, in the image and likeness of God. So we have the same kind of stuff that God has. We're not gods. We've been created by God. I am now a child of God because I've accepted Christ. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Amen? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Isn't it good to know that somebody has faith in you? You know, I remember the first time we had gone to a little church up in Iowa and got to know the pastor pretty well, started to work in the church. And he asked me if I would teach the adult Sunday school class. He had faith in me. So I did that for a while. And then he went on vacation. He was going to be gone for a couple of weeks. And he came up and he says, Paul, he said, now we're going to be gone for 2 weeks. Would you mind just taking the services while we're gone? You know how that made me feel? That really made me feel good. He had faith in me. Amen? Well, how do you think God feels when we have faith in Him? Amen? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. I mean, it's a good feeling when you know that somebody's got faith in you. Somebody comes up to you and says, you know, do this or do this, or I'd like you to handle this, you know, because you know they've got faith in you. So God says, have faith in God. Trust in Him completely. And then He goes on in verse 23 to say this, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now we've looked at these verses before, and I've just seen some things that just kind of stirred me up again. And I began to see this, that in verse 23 it's talking about mountains. Mountains are not something that I want. Mountains are something that I am going against. Amen? Now, you know, we might say, as an example, sickness. I would call that a mountain in my life. That's something that is coming against me. And I want to speak against that. Well, verse 23 is not prayer. Did you see that? Verse 23, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall pray to the Father, Father, take this mountain away from me." No, it doesn't say that. It says that whosoever shall say to the mountain. Now, I'm not praying. I'm speaking to the mountain. It says, "Shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Well, when you resist a mountain, it's like resisting Satan. Do you remember John 10:10? Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But this was Jesus that was talking. And then he said, "But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Amplify says, "To the full until it overflows." That's what Jesus wants us to have. And so mountains in our lives are things that come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We don't pray about mountains. We speak to mountains. You see that? Now, when you resist the devil, then what does he do? He flees. In James, it says that. You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You resist the devil in the name of Jesus, and he will flee from you. What does Revelation say? We overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus. We've got to know Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb or by the name of Jesus and by the testimony, by the word of our mouth. So verse 23 is talking about mountains in our lives, things that are coming against us. And so you've probably done this. I've done this before. Somebody comes to you and maybe they have cancer. Well, I speak to that cancer. I say, "Cancer, I come against you in the name of Jesus. I come to you at the very root, the very seed of your being, and I command you to die in the name of Jesus." There are some, I learned this little phrase after I moved down here. Okay? That little phrase is this: there's some things that just need killing. Somebody asked me about that today. I've had a bug problem, all right, at the house. And so I found some stuff that, boy, it's good stuff. And so I was telling them today about how I was killing, you know, all these bugs. Walked around the house this morning. It looked like, my goodness, they're just piles. Looks like we had a battle last night, but we won. And so he knew that I was a pastor, and he says, "Well, all those little creatures, you know, all those," he said, "how do you feel about, you know, killing all those bugs and all those things, you know?" And I said, well, brother, I said, well, he's not my brother, but I said, "Well, brother, there's some things that just need killing." Now, cancer's one of them.
That's right.
It just needs killing. You see, there are things that actually come against us that are from the devil, come to steal, kill, and destroy. And health, I'm telling you what, you have bad health. Well, I was talking about that earlier. This body is the only thing that's keeping you here on this earth. You have bad health, and that body begins to fail, and you're out of here. Now, if you're born again, thank God, you're going to a better place. Amen? But you want to finish your course. You know? You want to finish your course. And there's no need to go out sick. I mean, just go out when you want to go out. Amen? Just go out when you want to. After you're satisfied. That's what the Bible says. You can be satisfied with long life. Do everything you want to do. And then decide, it's time to graduate. It's time to move on up, heading on to the big house. Amen? And so, but here, verse 23, we're talking about mountains. And so this is not prayer. We're using the name of Jesus, and we're coming against things that come against us. Now, let's go to 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. What things soever you desire, these are things that you want. Whatsoever things you desire, these are things that you want. You see, things that are coming against you, you know, eventually came from the devil. But things that you desire, things that you want as a Christian, because we're speaking in the name of Jesus here, praying in the name of Jesus, speaking in the name of Jesus, things that you desire, things that you want, all good gifts and perfect gifts come from the Father above. And so the things that you desire, you pray for. This is prayer. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. That's good. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe. And then the last part of that says, and ye shall have them. And so it'd really be important to find out what's in the middle. What is it that when you have a desire and you pray, then you can have what you say, what you pray? It says, believe that you receive them. So the things that you desire, now think about this, the things that you desire, pray to the Father. Good things come from God. Pray to the Father. And believe. Believe that God is your healer. Believe that God is a good God. Believe that God is El Shaddai. Believe that He's no respecter of persons. These are all good things to believe. And when you come into this verse, you need to hang on to those verses, but that's not what this verse says. I don't know about you, but it was an eye-opener to me. To believe that God is my healer, that's not what this verse says. What does this verse say to believe? This verse says to believe that you receive. Not to believe that God is your healer and then you will be healed. No. To believe that you have received and then you will have. To believe that God is a good God? Well, sure, it's a good thing. But that's not what this verse says. If you're going to stand on this verse, that's not what this verse says. Therefore I say unto you, am I reading this right? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. So the only way when you pray for something that you desire, say as an example, healing comes up a lot. And so you stand on the Bible. Yeah, God is my healer. Amen. You got to stand on the Word. Praise God. He is my healer. The Old Testament says, I was healed. The New Testament says, I am healed. Amen. I'm standing on that. And I come to this verse. And this verse says, whatsoever you desire. When ye pray, believe that God is my healer. No, it doesn't say that. It says, believe that you have received. That's what you believe there. Right there, that's what you believe. You don't believe that God is your healer right there. You've already believed that. That's what you go into prayer about. But when you get to this verse, you say, believe that you receive, and then you will have. My goodness. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I haven't been doing that. As an example, cancer. I'd take these two verses. Boy, I'd come against that cancer. I speak to that cancer in the name of Jesus. I come to the very root and seed of that cancer. I command that cancer to die in the name of Jesus. And Father, I come to you because I know that you are my health. You are my healing. Amen. Glory to God. And right now, I believe that I have received and I am whole. Amen. My goodness. Glory to God. Takes a little soaking in. I can hear the wheels turning. Yeah, it doesn't, you know. Whatsoever you desire. When you pray, believe, that's what you believe. You actually believe at that point nothing else but that you have received. And then you have it. Now, a long, long while back, I did this by accident. It wasn't by accident, but you know what I'm saying? I didn't understand this verse, but I did it. Back in 1989, October 31st, I finally did this, and it worked. It's worked ever since. It always works. You just got to work the word. You know, I remember a while back here, somebody had said, I tried that faith stuff and it didn't work. I heard Keith Moore say that once. And Keith Moore, his response was no. He said, faith tried you and you didn't work. Faith always works. I tried that faith stuff and it didn't work. No. Faith tried you and you didn't work. This was clear back. I had some really, really severe allergy problems. And Ann would attest to that. Boy, there were many times when I couldn't speak. You know how that happens. You get so much drainage and you can't hardly breathe and your nose is all stuffy. And you know, we were traveling with a gospel group. And it seemed like every single time we had a weekend when we were going out, about that Thursday or Friday, my sinus would start kicking up. And I knew what it was, but I couldn't figure out how to handle it. I didn't know what to do. And man, I tell you, we had a prayer group in the church that we were attending. And the prayer group met, I think, once a month, something like that. And so I had the prayer group pray. And I had the prayer group pray. And I thought next day I was better, you know. And then the next day I wasn't so much better. And then I said, well, I guess that wasn't it. And so then several things happened. I had several different people pray for me. And then I'd get the symptoms again, you know. And then I'd say, well, I guess that one didn't work that time. Well, then one day Brother Hagin came to town. And I'd been hearing him on the radio, you know, and he was coming to a hotel room. And so there was a bunch of us in the prayer group, you know. We decided we were going to go down and see this man. What in the world, you know, this man? So we went down to see Brother Hagin. And so I wanted Brother Hagin to pray for me, but I was scared. I mean, I'd never been around a man like that before, and I just didn't want to get too close. And so the service was over, and he even had a healing line. I just couldn't get myself up there to go, you know. I just couldn't do it. And so the service was over, and we were all walking around, you know, and I was out where they had a book table out there, you know, and I was looking at some of the books, and I just could not leave. And so I told Anna, I said, I got to go back in. If he's in there, I want him to pray for me. So I went back in, and he was just, if you know anything about him, he was just standing around, really not saying a whole lot. When he's not ministering, he's a very quiet man. He doesn't have a lot to say. Just real quiet. And so he was standing around there just talking with somebody and, you know, just carrying on. And so I went up to him, and I said, I'd like you to pray for me. And he just, you know, he's so quiet. Well, you know, kind of grunt, not say a whole lot, you know. And then ask me, what about? And so I went on into this, you know, sinuses and all this kind of stuff. And so he said, yeah, okay. So he put his hands on my forehead, and that's the last I remember. I don't remember anything else. The very next thing I remember, you'll like this, Wayne. The very next thing I remember, when I woke up, I was looking at the ceiling, and there were people just walking over me like they didn't care. And I thought, what in the world was that? I had never experienced anything like that before. Well, the next day I got up. You know, I don't know how long I'd laid there. But I'd never experienced. It was like lightning. I thought he'd taken a sledgehammer and just walloped me, you know, or something. I mean, I thought, what in the world did he do? But he didn't. Next day I got up, and I still had some of those symptoms. And I thought to myself, well, my Lord, if Brother Hagin prays for me, and all of that goes on, you know, power of God like that, and I'm still not healed, there's no hope. That's what I was thinking. What am I supposed to do now? I've had everybody pray for me. What am I supposed to drive up to Minneapolis, you know? I forgot his name. It's a big evangelist, you know, it's probably Billy Graham, you know. I thought, my goodness, should I have Billy Graham pray for me or something, you know? And so then, finally, I'm in the book. I'm reading. And I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be more than what I know. There's got to be more than what I know. And so I saw this. You got to believe it when you pray it. Now I'm focusing in on this healing side of things. There were a lot of other things that happened when Brother Hagin laid his hands on me, and you know, but we're not going there. I'm just focusing in on this. I'm not going to stand here and say that when Brother Hagin prayed for me, nothing happened. It's not true. I stand here today. One of the reasons, you know, is because of that. But I saw this verse. And so I had done this before. But finally I thought, all right, this is it. It says this: when you pray, believe that you receive, and then you'll have it. Actually, then you'll see the manifestation. And so I did. Just all by myself. Nobody around. I just prayed. I said, Lord, I've been having a whale of a problem with these sinuses. And I've had everybody under the sun praying for me. But now I see this verse. And so I'm praying to you, and I'm thanking you for my healing. And I believe, right now, I believe that I have received, and I'm standing on that. And so the next day, I had the same symptoms. But now this time, I said, no. I'm not going there. And you'll hear a little voice. You've heard it before. Guess it didn't work. Yeah, you'll hear it. I guess it didn't work this time either. You're not going to get healed. It's not going to work for you. And I said this, I know I'm not going to get healed. I already am healed. I don't have to gonna get healed because last night I prayed and I believed when I prayed. And so I was healed last night. I don't have to be healed today. I was healed last night. I'm standing in healing. And so I went on that day. And the next day. And the next day. And I'm standing here today telling you, it's been since that year. 1989. I'm telling you what, I was allergic to. Now, I thought that if I went outside, I'd get better. Because I knew I was allergic to house dust. It was a good excuse to go outside. I thought I was allergic to house dust. I knew I was allergic to house dust. I was allergic to dust mites. I was allergic to all kinds of stuff in the house. Well, then I got a bunch of testing done. You know how they test for different things, you know? Well, then come to find out, yeah, I was allergic to all that, but I was also allergic to grass, and I was allergic to trees, and it just went on and on about things that I was allergic to outside. So I couldn't go inside or outside. Didn't matter. I was allergic to something. And some time of the year, there was something blooming or there was something dusty that I was allergic to. And so they started me on these shots, and I had two shots, four shots altogether, two shots in each arm every week. For a year. Going in there, getting all these shots, didn't do a thing. I'm still taking my medication. I'm still doing. It was a mess. I was a mess. Taking all the time off work, doing everything you got to do to go and get those shots, you know, and go through all of that. Now, this verse right here did it. Believe that you receive them. Don't believe that God's a good God. Believe that you've received. You've already believed God's a good God. See, you've got to have a verse that you're standing on before you come here. It's got to be the verse that you're standing on that deals with the desire of your heart. What's the desire of your heart? It's got to be based on the Word of God. What's the desire of your heart? If God says you can have it in the Word, then it can be a desire, an honest-to-goodness desire of your heart that God's going to back up. Amen? Now, you remember this little story that we read about the rich man. It said even there, when it comes to prosperity, that you would have a hundredfold. How many here are at that hundredfold mark because you accepted Christ? Well, see, a lot of us aren't. Because we don't have an understanding of the Word. And maybe we're walking the path and we're getting there. Boy, I'm sure a lot closer than I was. Glory to God. And I'm liking it. I mean, prosperity is a good thing. And like I'm telling you, I can talk all night about prosperity of the Spirit. Yes, I'm born again. And I'm loving it. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I pray in tongues every day. And I'm loving it. I get insights into the Word, like what we're talking about tonight, because I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Because there are things above and beyond what my mind knows, but God knows, and He reveals things to me. That's prosperity of the Spirit, prosperity of the soul. But you get to prosperity of the flesh. Prosperity, you know, part of the prosperity of the flesh is healing. But then how about the houses? How about the land? How about, you know, isn't it nice to have a house that's got maybe some extra bedrooms so when somebody comes over to stay, they got a place to stay? Isn't that nice? You know, I don't think Jesus, matter of fact, in the Old Testament, there were several cases on extra rooms. Man of God went through. That was a good thing. So there's prosperity there, see? So you can come at this verse with a lot of different things, the desire of your heart. And when you pray, see, you pray about the desires because those are good things. And all good things come from the Father. And you see that verse before, those were mountains. Those are things that come against you. Those are things that you don't want. You don't pray about those. God's already given you the authority. You read down, you know, the authority of the believer. He's already given us authority to come against those things. And so we don't pray. We use the name of Jesus. And we come against those things. We command those things to stop. That's not prayer. That's a believer's authority. Amen? And it all happens because of that verse way before that. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. And see, that's how God operates. Amen? God spoke, and it was. God spoke, and it was. God spoke, and it was. Well, now, see, we're not gods. We're not trying to claim that we're gods. We have to pray in the name of Jesus. And we can pray those desires of our heart. And we believe that we receive. You know, there are churches. There are churches where the whole congregation is believing for houses and lands and buildings. My goodness. And now, I just heard this the other night. They're starting up a meeting on Monday nights. Going to go on for several weeks now. They don't know when it's going to end. But anybody can come, and entrepreneurs from the church are going to teach on starting a business and growing a business. And the pastor said, now, you know, we've been teaching a long time the spiritual side of this. Spiritual side of prosperity. But now we want to give you the natural side to go together. How do you actually apply that? And so now entrepreneurs are going to start ministering to these people. And the pastor says, what I really want is I really want to have the high school graduates there because they're getting ready to go out into the workforce and they're young. And any of them that have that desire, have an unction on the inside of them to prosper, to grow a business, this is an opportune time for some of these entrepreneurs in our church that are fine Christian people to be able to take them under their wing and discover what it is that they have in their heart and show them how to start it, show them how to prosper in their business so that we can further the kingdom of God. Fund the gospel. Amen? Get more people saved and then go on to our mansion. We're living in a bigger house we've ever lived in before. And it's all based on faith. People have asked me, how are you doing what you're doing with the job that you're doing? I say this, you know, anybody can have a job for seed. You don't do it based on what your income is. You do it based on what you sow. Because we always reap in multiples of what we sow. You plant a seed, you get a big crop. And so we do it not on what we make, but on what we reap. Because we've learned how to sow. And not only that, but we've learned how to sow enough and how to reap enough that it's fun to be able to give things away. We got some more stuff. I keep looking around for stuff to give away. I do. I have a blast doing that. I love to give things away. I love to give things away. You know, we gave away a bed. How many beds did we get out of that? I think we got, was it 24, 25 beds? And so now in all of our bedrooms, we have king-size beds. That's a blessing. So when somebody comes and wants to stay, they can stay in a nice room, stay in a nice bed, and be blessed. We want to bless people. We want to show them that God is a good God. You don't come to Jesus and then live in this life poverty the rest of your time. No. That's not Bible. That's not what it says. That's what some of the churches say. That's what some religion says. You know, just take your vow of poverty. You know, bless God. He'll love you for it. No, that's not Bible. That's not Bible at all. Who in the world wants to come to Jesus when they see a bunch of people that are sick and poor? Oh, come to my Jesus. And by the way, do you have a dollar so I can buy a Coke? You know, I mean, who wants to come to a Jesus like that? No. Mm-mm. That's not my Jesus. No. So, let's read this again. We're right there, aren't we? Verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, those things that come against you, we're speaking here, we're not praying, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now you notice there that this verse states it this way, shall come to pass. In most cases, when you speak to a mountain, you're not going to see an immediate change, but it will come to pass. So you got to know that. You got to be able to stand on that and know it, that it will come to pass. If you believe when you say, it shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Then verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. See, we're switching thoughts. We're going from mountains, we're going from things that are against us, now we're going to things that we desire. And so now we've moved to prayer. The things that we desire come from God. Amen? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen? Anybody glad you came tonight?